Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
95.9 is Texas Country. It's also 98.5, 1978, a lot of numbers here, but that was the year that song went to number one. It was a big old hit from Waylon Jennings.
Did he write that?
He did write that.
He did?
He did.
Yeah. Waylon wrote a lot of his songs, and a lot of he didn't, too. There is a story this morning, an American songwriter I found interesting, especially if you're a Waylon fan, and I found out that our guest, John Jones, Detective Sergeant John Jones, who we're honoring this hour especially, and convinced him to come in, and we've given him a Waylon Jennings CD, the new one that Shooter Jennings produced of some of this material they found, on Waylon that had never been released, because John is a big, like so many of us, Waylon Jennings fan. So what would you think the, see if you can get one of them anyway. According to American Songwriter, there are three Waylon Jennings songs that absolutely, conclusively prove that he is definitely one of the greatest songwriters of all time, not just his time. What would you think one of them would be?
Well, that one probably.
No, it's not that one. There are three.
What's the one about? Don't you think this outlaw stuff has got a little bit out of hand? Is that on there? Maybe Are You Sure Hank's Done It This Way?
Are You Sure Hank's Done It This Way? Or Are You Sure Hank done it this way? Yeah, is listed, I don't know if it's in order, number one. Number two, Rainy Day Woman.
That's a good one.
1974, Rainy Day Woman, never seemed to see you for the good times of the sunshine. You've been a friend of mine, Rainy Day Woman. And finally, Good Hearted Woman, in love with her good-timing, two-timing man.
Yeah, and of course, that one is Waylon and Willie, and all based upon an article that Waylon and Willie were reading in a hotel room about Tina Turner. Tina said that most of Los Angeles and most of the music industry in that article was about two-timing men, and that's where that song came from.
So
you can think, you can thank Tina Turner and, I guess, Ike Turner for Good Hearted Woman, because that's where that song came from.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask our guest, is it Detective Sergeant or Sergeant Detective John Jones?
Oh, it's just John, Bob.
Well, see, you're humble. You're humble and you're funny. And that's what people always say. That John Jones is funny.
He's been giving Bob guff all morning about what he's wearing in the studio.
Yeah.
I did post the pictures. They're on the gram and they're up on the Face Space. And
He
walked in.
We should give a warning on it, you know?
Like, he walked in and was like,
disturbing
Bob,
images.
Bob, what are you doing?
I'm Lieutenant Dangle from Reno 911.
Yeah, I appreciate following that.
Bob. Yeah. Yeah. John, in all your contributions, and that's what I want folks to know that maybe don't, because there's a few new people here, you know? There are some people that really defined Austin and helped make it the kind of place that it is to live in the good ways, and fought against the bad. And his career with the Austin Police Department was a big part of that. But you were always involved with rodeo and all, so I shouldn't be surprised you're a country fan, or you're a Waylon fan.
Hey, Bob,
how long you love Waylon?
I was country before country was cool.
I mean, you walked in here with a cowboy hat on.
And he's wearing a catch ride.
You walked in here with a hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could do the Cotton Eye Joe. Still can.
Shottish. Really?
All of that. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much anybody in Austin, you know. You are.
Yeah. Believe me, I've even taken lessons.
Yeah, and all those years out at the rodeo, well, first it was Austin Travis County Livestock Show and Rodeo, and then that morphed into Star of Texas.
Rodeo Star Ted, now Rodeo Austin.
Now Rodeo Austin, yeah. Uh-huh. I still got my old jackets. I should have wore that.
And I bet they fit. You're still looking good.
Yeah.
You retired how long ago?
Ooh, I retired from APD in 2004.
Has it been that long? Whoa.
Yeah, and then I went to work over at Capital Metro for another 12 years, and finally gave it up in 2018.
So you were a bus driver?
No. Well, actually...
Nothing wrong with it.
No, I was a cop, but I actually did have a commercial driver's license. I taught... like 20 cops how to drive buses, and we were instrumental when all the planes came down 9/11, and nobody could get out to the airport, and you know, none of the regular bus drivers wanted to go out there, so you know, we mounted up. Like I said, there were 20 of us that were commercial operators, had commercial licenses, and we went out there. Yeah, I drove buses, you know, for special occasions. I didn't drive a route or anything. I'd have gone straight to jail with a lot of those folks.
Yeah, no, anyway. you'd have been able to send a lot more people to jail if you'd been driving. But so for those who don't know, John was probably of the many detectives over the years assigned to the Yogurt Shop murders. He was the lead detective early on and for the longest time, and was the subject of that huge HBO documentary. Was that a four parts, and they were like over an hour each, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Docu-series, I think they called it.
Docu-series, yeah. And, of course, it ends with, we still don't know who did it. And by that time, everybody wanted to get a hold of the subject here, John Jones. And he said, I'm just not going to be doing that. And just through some friends and all, and the fact that I've been lucky enough, privileged enough, blessed enough to know John all these years, he said, well, I'd trust Cole to go on. So we talked on the phone, I'm going to say 6 weeks ago. John, could have been longer. Yeah,
it was about that.
And at that point, I was like, well, you know, all the questions you wanted to avoid, you were kind enough to sit through with us. Like, well, did they ever have who did it? Do they have who did it? You always said, you have to follow the evidence.
Yep.
And I have never been convinced that the evidence. So then the conversation turned to you're very kind to go down this road that I took you about what this has done to your life, how it cost you a wife and a lot of hard stuff over the years. I mean, and you had told the family that just happened to be when you got called out that night at home, you had one of those like Mo Betta crazy looking shirts on, and green, wasn't it?
Green and white, hideous green from Sheplers.
So everybody saw that shirt. And even though the parents are going through a lot, they apparently remarked on it. And you said, I tell you what, next time you see this shirt, it will be when we catch the guys that did this to your daughter. I'm going to wear it then, but not before. So when we talked, fair to say, you told us that you had begun to believe, or ready to accept, that you're probably going to be dead, but they're going to catch them. Their DNA would probably do it. They'll get them, but you might not be here, and you'd made arrangements with your daughter.
Yes, I did. And I said, maybe me, hopefully it'll be me, but if it's not, then I've passed that responsibility on to my youngest daughter, Andrea. She knows where it is, and it'll be up to her to, you know, locate the families or, you know, the remaining family members and put my shirt on and wear it over there.
And then after sharing that with us, Sergeant, then... 3 weeks later, DNA solved the case.
Yes.
They got the right guy now. Of course, he's dead.
May his soul not rest in peace.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, so if nothing else, that burden's been released from my daughter. I think she appreciates that. She might not express it that way, but yeah, I got to wear that shirt. And yeah, there were two family members that have passed on, Maria Thomas and Mike Harbison. They passed on, but the other families got to see it. Yeah, I took an early morning flight to get down here.
Because you've moved out to Colorado.
Yeah, I moved out to Colorado. No gummies for me, by the way, Eric.
Oh, man, come on.
I'm sorry, I don't do gummies.
Not riding dirty, okay.
Sorry.
No, he smokes it.
Yeah.
He's straight flour.
That's how rumors get started.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, man.
That was what you've been through, man.
I think he was talking about me.
We had that, too. Sergeant, you know, the bottom line is we still see how emotional it is for you. And you know, a lot of people say, well, that's interesting. They have a documentary and all of a sudden the police now finally figure out who did it. And I did myself even wonder, did the documentary have anything to do with speeding up DNA labs or anything like that?
I don't know. I mean, you probably have to talk to Detective Jackson about that. The timing was, fortuitous, yeah, whatever
fortuitous,
that word.
Fortuitous.
Yeah, right. Whatever that word is.
I can't spell it.
That's a big word.
Yeah.
I write my Bob Cole words of the day now. I'm going to put fortuitous.
Fortuitous, yeah. Fortuitous.
What does that mean?
That's his word.
The timing was fortuitous. Okay. But, you know, the bottom line is, after 34 years, it was the evidence. And, you know, when Detective Jackson called me and said, he was telling me, kind of running down the general whole case, but when he got to the part that the DNA underneath Amy's fingernails, I lost it. I did, because that's confirmed. It confirmed two things.
Because I got to interrupt you, because you're not going to say it. I'm going to make you say it, I hope. That DNA in 19, what year was it?
91.
91 was not something that people were thinking to get. And because of the way scenes were handled like that then, and this was, because they didn't even know people were in there when they're putting the fire out. So evidence is destroyed. And you, first guy out there from homicide, and ends up being your case, you said, no, you're not taking those bodies till we take this evidence.
Yeah,
you talk about fortuitous.
That's correct.
Fortuitous.
We did a lot of things that night that we knew about DNA. That was when it was in its infancy, though. The one thing we really knew at the time, you know, Sergeant Huckabee and myself, was that it was evolving. And over a period of time, you know, we were looking forward to that day when it was advanced enough to help us solve that case. But yeah, Sergeant Huckabee and I and Chuck Myers from ATF was there, along with DPS, you know. But if it hadn't been for Sergeant Huckabee talking the medical examiner into waiting until we could get DPS out there, because we didn't have, there was no such thing as CSI back then. I mean, we had a fingerprint tech.
If there had been, you could have had it solved by the end of the hour.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, yeah.
Or the episode.
Yeah. After the fifth commercial break? Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, everything we did, we broke a lot of new ground that night, getting DPS, their crime scene lab out there, you know, having ATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, having an agent there. Of course, I played softball with him, so that was an easy phone call.
So you called those folks in.
Yes.
You had the foresight and the lack of, this is my territory, ego to do it then.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people done it differently.
You walked in there, and it was just a sea of blacks, browns, grays, and the fire department just knocked down the fire, so it was real steamy. There was water in the air. There was water dripping on me from the ceiling. There was a couple of 3 inches of water on the floor. Yeah, and I just kind of looked in there, and I had 4 dead kids. Uh-oh.
You didn't know? Nobody knew it at that point?
No.
Why did they call homicide out?
Well, yeah, I asked that very question. A lot of people, when they see the HBO series, thought that that was a reenactment when I was driving over there and talking on the radio. Well, it wasn't a reenactment. That was the real thing. I had a Channel 7 reporter, well, Lisa Casolu then, her and her cameraman were riding with me when I got that call.
Just coincidentally.
Just coincidentally, yeah. And they first said that there were 3. Said, well, we got a fire over here at the I Can't Believe It's Yoga Shop, and we've got 3 deceased over here. And I go, okay, what are you calling me for? Because arson investigators usually handle the fire deaths. And then they came back and said, they've been shot in the head. Oh, okay, well, that's different. So I go screaming over there and talking on a cell phone, well, a mobile phone back then, yeah. And they called me. I got halfway over there and said that they found a fourth kid. So I knew it was 4 by the time I got there. I was wired up with the microphone, but the batteries were dead. And if the batteries had been had been active, then you'd have heard a string of beeps, you know, because when I got back there and just this, the whole scene just kind of overwhelmed me. I go, okay, fire, dead girls, stripped, kids. Uh-oh, I'm in big trouble. I need help. So, you know, I called Sergeant Huckabee. Sergeant Vasquez was actually on with me. He took the best witness we had at the time, which was the owner of the party shop next door. So I called Chuck Meyer, because Chuck Meyer worked with me on my very first homicide case, which was also a fire. It turned out to be a murder. And then I called the FBI agent I knew, but he didn't come out till the next morning. And then, you know, we called for DPS, so... The medical examiner got called, too, because there was, you know, 4 dead bodies. But it hadn't been for Sergeant Huckabee talking the medical examiner into waiting until DPS got there. Because technically, once a body gets declared dead...
They took him.
Well, yeah, it belongs to the medical examiner.
And even if the medical examiner had looked for DNA under fingernails, but at that point, and that may be... From what I understand, may not have ever happened back then. But then your chain of custody and all.
Well, yeah, and there was water everywhere, so we wanted to get as much untainted evidence as we could. There was always the possibility that moving the girls around, that, you know, we could have gotten contamination out there. So we wanted the DNA we could get. All we could get in their natural state was, you know. And like I said, Sergeant Huckabee, all praise to him for talking, you know, the medical examiner into waiting until DPS got there. Because DPS, they all had to come from home and go back into the office and get their gear and all of that. But I think it was well worth the wait. And although they and us kind of got barbecued in the first trial, you know, we get, oh, well, you guys botched the scenes. Matter of fact, during the news conference or just after the news conference, I had a reporter come up to me and go, okay, do you consider this vindication, considering how the scene was botched?
Oh.
And I kind of went off. Oh, wait a minute. Who said it was botched? Of course, you know, she probably wasn't even alive back then. She was
right,
so
exactly.
Young. But
that's what I was thinking.
You know, I've always said, you know, we did all we could based on what we had in 1991. And we went above and beyond that. I mean, we got the Texas Rangers in within a week. Their people hypnotized the customers that we could find. And it was through that another DPS employee, then Karen Taylor, you know, was able to develop the composite sketches of at least two people or one person that, you know, we hadn't been able to account for. And at first we thought it looked like a similar case of sexual assault down on 6th Street, and that morphed into the whole Mexico thing. Mm-hmm.
You're part of figuring out this whole Mexico thing. Y'all thought, everybody thought you had it. This ain't adding up. This ain't right.
Well, they were persons of interest before that was even a term. The sex crimes people had an actual case on them. They had filed warrants for arrest for them on 6th Street. So that was, you know, a dead bang case. But they'd look like the two composites you put side by side of what the victim gave from 6th Street gave sex crimes and what one of the customers gave Karen Taylor out at the yoga shop. They looked similar. So, you know, that was the lead we had to follow. And it led us to America's Most Wanted.
But the Mexican police, Lord knows what they might have done, but they got total confessions out of those guys that didn't do it.
Yeah, they did.
That's how you said, well, wait a minute.
They didn't show them to Huck. We had a team on the ground down there. And when they did the perp walk, right after that, the Attorney General for the whole country of Mexico got up and announced that at the news conference that these guys had killed those girls and they were going to try them down there.
Yeah, Mexico's responsible for this. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what they said because that's their justice system down there. We weren't expecting to get them back because Mexico didn't extradite to
because we have the death penalty.
We have the death penalty. Yeah. Yeah, that's well established. But they wanted us to send the whole case down there. And when Huck finally got a chance to look at their 6-page single space handwritten confession, there was a couple of errors or problems in it, not the least of which was the caliber of gun. And at that time, they said that they poured white gas all over the place and set it afire. White gas is what we call kerosene up here. And we knew none of that was true, so that was kind of a problem. Yeah, they said they shot him, but they shot him with the wrong caliber gun. And then set the place on fire.
So the Mexican police had some known things, but y'all had been smart enough not to share all the details with
Well, when Huck pointed that out to him, we got a problem here. That's not the caliber of gun. The question came back to him was, oh, what kind of caliber of gun was it then? Okay. We won't answer that question. If we had sent the original autopsies down there, then they probably would have tried him by now. But we didn't send the original.
What you were so consistent about all those years, and even after you weren't on that case anymore, is you got to get it out of your mind. This guy looks right for it. You follow the evidence.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had 6 written confessions. Any one of them I could have taken to any judge and got a probable cause arrest warrant. My favorite thing to say was, yeah, that's a nice confession. Where's the beef? You know, channeling Wendy's commercial back when.
Clara Peller,
yeah. May her soul rest in peace. Yeah. These days, it's where's the DNA? Where's the beef kind of morphed into where's the gun? That's what we were really looking for, was the gun. Luckily, you know, DPS's efforts got us the shell casing out of a floor drain the next day. Now, that's, remember me saying that it was 2 or 3 inches of water in there?
Yeah.
And I had all of this ceiling tile material and other trash. And so they had to dig that all out, unscrew it, and, you know, they found a shell casing to a 380 at the bottom of it. And that shell casing proved that made September 26th possible, September 26th this year being, you know, the date that, you know, they had the news conference. I think they probably knew before then, but it was official on September 26th.
Former Austin Detective Sergeant John Jones with us for a few more minutes. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, would love to ask you about when the announcement was made. Who's the detective that
Jackson?
what you know about him, how many different suspects were interviewed or talked to, and was the guy that ended up doing it, where was he on the list, if ever? And how you feel today, Sergeant John Jones, as we continue on 95.9 right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I was working in the lab late one night.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash. There's no denying it, Halloween is tonight. With us, he happened to be in town and was good enough to let us be the ones he visits with. He is Detective Sergeant John Jones. Seems like I've been gone so long, I forgot your name. John Jones. And who I was, I guess, bragging earlier, I've been fortunate to know for decades and decades. And I tell you that he gave his life to this one case, but he also dedicated himself to this community in so many ways that I'd love to resume for you, but just, if you will, trust me, we're a safer place and a better place because of not too many people, but he's one of them, John Jones. And Sergeant Jones, we talked about the fact that this detective that had the cold case now, Dan Jackson, worked tirelessly as you did, as other folks did, but he was able to figure some things out. And the guy they got was a serial killer. Now, how many interviews and folks got interviewed over the many years? Any idea?
Well, the case is about 300,000 pages long. And
I'm sorry. Yeah. I fell down. 300,000 pages?
Yeah, at least. At least. That's since day one. So you figure it's been 34 years, so that's entirely possible.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I've been asked several times, you know, did this guy ever show up, and I can't recall his name.
And they said at the press conference, there seems to be no record that he was ever, they were tipped off to him or looked at him or talked to him ever. And who remind us, if you will, you know, how quickly news cycles are. Sorry. He had let a couple of women escape that could describe him and his MO, but he'd killed multiple other women around the country, and he just happened to be in town, they think.
Yeah, apparently.
And he would knock a place off to get money to move on, mm-hmm. and if he saw opportunity, he'd typically take it.
He did. He was infamous for binding up victims in their own clothing and setting the place on fire and shooting. He was, I guess, I hate to use this term, it almost seems like glorification, but the consummate serial killer. He was almost like Ted Bundy. Remember Ted Bundy?
Yeah.
May his soul not rest in peace. Is, you know, he moved from coast to coast. So I think the original story was a car he was in was stolen in Georgia. So no one knows why he came through town. Detective Jackson mentioned that they were going to be looking at that to try to figure out why he was in Austin, because it's not a direct route from where the car was stolen in Georgia to where he wound up. So he must have had some reason for being around here.
And part of the theory, maybe, is from that press conference I recall that gave us the most, other than what you give us today so far, was that he probably saw this yogurt shop closing up late night with one or two girls up front and said, oh, this is going to be easy. Not knowing there were girls in the back, too.
Yeah, we had said that to begin with.
You knew that, yeah.
Well, it was a theory we had that if you were casing that place, all you saw over, say, a period of a couple of days or maybe even a day, all you saw was the two employees out front.
And Amy Ayers was 13?
13. Oh, yeah, they were in the back. And so we figured there was probably an element of surprise there. Came in to rob the place and herd everybody to the back, and uh-oh, there's two more. Now what? But, you know, he, looking at his past crimes, you know, the next issue was, well, he couldn't have been by himself. Well, he had on his previous, some of his previous crimes. So, and Detective Jackson, you know, and I'm sure at this moment in time he's still digging. I know I would be, and he said a couple of things, the main of which was that, well, two things. One, he said he never read the original confessions.
Yeah, was, you know, that sounded to me like you, though. Because
yeah, it did, didn't it?
It did. I mean, I almost wanted to say to you, not necessarily on the air, it's like he studied at the John Jones School of being a homicide detective because he said, he was asked that at the press conference, the part about, well, what working theory? I don't want to see those theories. I don't want to see correct. Those confessions. I want to follow the evidence.
Yes, he did. And that he did. More importantly, he kept submitting the evidence when new processes came out. And that's really what got this all started, was when Rosemary Lindbergh, who was the DA back then when those cases were being tried, they had been reversed, of course, and they were trying to figure out if they were going to try Maurice Pierce. Well, they couldn't use the same evidence that they used against Scott and Springsteen. So her office decided, and maybe her, I'm not sure, but her office decided to resubmit the evidence. And that's when, you know, there's a new DNA strain available out there. And that's something that Detective Jackson said, which is very important, that, and he was talking to other detectives, you know, around the nation, is if you've got old evidence, resubmit it. Not just DNA, but firearms evidence. They've apparently got a new 3D examination technique now. So, you know, his words, and I don't know if anybody picked up on it, was detectives on cold cases or, you know, whodunits is what we used to call them cold cases now, but I'll just use my term. I'm familiar with whodunits, you know, submit that check with the sciences and as new techniques come out to evaluate DNA or, you know, firearm evidence, resubmit what you got. And it was through that effort that, you know, got me in this seat today.
Detective, I got a question for you right quick. A lot of people on the text line have starting to ask questions. This one says, I did DNA research when I was at University of Illinois. Please ask the detective about the chain of custody of the DNA for it to remain viable all those years. And thank God it was, they say.
Well, just an example of that was that when we had the case, it was determined by, I think, DPS or maybe it was ATF's lab, that we didn't have enough material for DNA analysis to proceed back then. But when Detective Jackson submitted it, particularly the DNA, the scrapings from underneath Amy's fingernails, there are new techniques to evaluate more minute.
They can kind of amplify it and reproduce it, as I understand.
Uh-huh. There's just, like I said, there's new techniques
coming
out.
But even given that, at the press conference, they said there's still virtually nothing left anymore.
Yeah, this says that it has to be frozen, stored long-term at minus 60 degrees. There probably were no minus 60 degree freezers at the time. This person's absolutely amazed.
I don't know that. Now you're, that wasn't my degree. My degree was music when I was at the university.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. Who trained you to be a homicide detective?
I'll say my mother. My mother was, my parents were very, tell the truth. Be
not
skeptical of anything you hear.
Yeah, but I like that answer, though.
But the answer I was expecting maybe wasn't that far off, which is nobody. I don't know how it is now, but I know you just got promoted to homicide, and you had to learn from the guys that had done it for a while before you, and that's it. It's not like we're going to send you for a year to Quantico and learn this stuff.
Bob, you know where I came from before I got to homicide? Treaty Oak.
That's right. You solved the Treaty Oak deal.
Yeah.
That's right. I told you he's done so much. I'll tell you, people wanted the Treaty Oak killer caught in Austin as badly as they wanted the Yogurt Chop murderer caught.
Captured that guy, you know, I've never seen so many cans of chicken soup and get well cards as I did in front of that tree
tree.
You know what I wanted to do with it? Because they interrupted the stations interrupted the soaps in the afternoon to bring that live.
The Treaty Oak murder has been caught. And by the way, what year was that?
1989, 90, something like
in
that.
In the late 80s especially, the average murderer in Texas was serving 7 years, sometimes 11. That's if you murder. They gave the Treaty Oak guy how many years?
He got 9 in the state pen and then another 4 in the fed pen.
He got more than a murderer back then.
He served most of it, too, because he kept getting put in administrative segregation when the real crooks figured out why he was in.
What'd you do to get in? I put you to tree. I got a question for you. I mean, there's a CSI, a LA this, that, all these detectives. Can you watch those? Do you put holes in everything they have? Or can you just flip through those because you can't?
I don't watch that stuff.
Right.
My favorite television show, cop show, was Barney Miller, because that's how people really are.
Right.
How about it? Going back to the day, Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues in the first couple of years before they all got self-important, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was, because you never knew what was going to happen next. And that's police work in a nutshell. You just never know what's going to happen next.
So guys like Detective Dan Jackson, who had this case last and has found the killer definitively, and not even arguable, how did he become a homicide detective or cold case detective? Just being on the force and learning from the people before you? And occasionally maybe there might be a seminar they can get to go to or no?
Well, yeah. Like there's I went to a couple of seminars. One on how to interrogate people.
That was
were you the good cop or the bad cop?
Go back and watch.
Is that real?
Back and watch the HBO docuseries we talked about, because you brought up, and it was brought up by some other guy that was interviewed too, that, you know, there was a theory back then on how you broke people down that everybody just kind of knew or told each other. And it's part of how we get these false confessions.
Well, let me say this. Not all confessions are false, but I'm a firm believer that the confession has to be accompanied by evidence. People want confessions because everybody wants to know why.
I shot him confessions, with a 22. I shot him with a 22. Okay, give me the 22. Give me the handgun.
Yeah. And then you can tell me why you did it. Because everybody wants to know why, you know, because no one can picture themselves being a murderer.
And they want to know now.
They want to know now.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
The end of the program, at least.
Detective, Sergeant Detective John Jones. Well, always remember Halloween, because even though we weren't playing all Halloween songs, there's so much more important, and there's going to be a statue to you somewhere.
Yeah. With pins in it, probably. Yeah,
and that green shirt.
To some people.
The bad news would probably be out at the rodeo, but it would be somewhere good, you know.
The green shirt's going in a shadow box. I already talked to Dennis about that.
You're keeping it.
I'm putting it in a shadow box.
And where will it go?
I don't know. Probably my daughter. My daughter is my family. You know, I don't know. But I'm going to have it preserved in a shadow box. I guess I need to wash it first, maybe.
No.
it.
That is
great. You mean you're not going to consign your deputy dog or whatever that is?
During this next break, I am getting out of this.
No, come on, Bob. This
finish
strong,
Dangle.
Man. It's not how you start, it's how you finish,
and
Dangle.
You're a heck of a very secure man with your sexuality to be staring at my legs this long.
He didn't have a choice.
I resemble that remark.
Detective Jones, thank you so much. We, if you don't mind, we'll stay in touch.
Yeah. Hey, enjoyed it.
Not like we did, brother. Thank you so much on behalf of so many people that are new here and been here all along.
Treaty Oak, man. Treaty Oak.
I will tell you this. The Treaty Oak, too. But at that press conference, a lot of people got up there over those several hours and said, and there were a lot of regrettable things, in my opinion, that happened that day, and understandably, maybe from some people with their frustrations or whatever, but they testified to there's this guy named John Jones, and had he not done this and this, from Mindy Montford to Detective Jackson that we talked about, and then that dang DA we got up there, he went up there and tried to take credit. I won't ask you to comment on that. Sorry, I got to talk.
Don't. That's what happens when you get into the political spectrum. Get into the political spectrum, and all bets are off. They are. I mean,
You didn't have to deal with
it. 30 seconds before we break. We got to take a break. The text line is lit up. Explain Treaty Oak, because they're like, did a tree get murdered?
It's down at 6th and just west of Lamar. It was this guy, in order to get this girl to not love him anymore, some counselor told him that if he buried an article of clothing of hers in the ground, as it decomposed, so would his love for her. So he poured like a bunch of Velpar, which is a herbicide they use in West Texas to kill mesquite tree. He poured it around, and that was when Ace Ross Perot was around, and he sent like 2 8,000-gallon tankers of Ozarka spring water. They put up a net. They put up misters.
Wow.
And I got that guy 9 years in the pen for herbicide, essentially.
Herbicide.
On Baylor Street.
Baylor, 6th and Baylor.
Between 5th and 6th there on Baylor.
Yeah, it's still there. It didn't look anything.
They
like
saved it somehow. It's nowhere near the size it
used to
be. Dug
up all the dirt around it.
But it was. But boy, they brought in the best to do it. But that tree is over 500 years old, and it's also also known as Raymond's Oak, but it had to do with some treaty that was signed, I believe,
between the Indians and the
Rangers or
Stephen
Army.
F. Austin, I think, or something like that.
So that we could all live together was signed right under that tree. a couple of years ago. So
I got ridiculed on that, Bob. I came to work one day and there was a handwritten note on my desk, and it said, handwritten said, I now have a chainsaw. Stop me before I kill again, Son of Oak. That was when Son of Sam was doing his thing. Yeah.
Son of Oak.
Wow. Stop me before I kill again.
Oh, so many.
Cut out in letters from a magazine.
Yeah. It was handwritten backwards on notebook paper.
Yeah.
Which I think is what it was.
Just make us proud. And it's you, man.
It's Austin, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. John Jones, Detective Sergeant John Jones, now retired and hopefully enjoying every minute of it.
But not doing gummies, though. Okay. No gummies.
You know.
Straight up flour, y'all.
Thee think thou protesteth too much.
Ooh, Shakespeare in the morning.
No shorts, no.
Nothing compared to when Sammy Allred would quote Shakespeare. Yeah. I believe it. That was a man that knew bad. You know, it was great. All right. Coming up next, remember Bucky Godbolt? He going to be on the program in a few minutes. Stand by.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.